To this, we all say Amen. Always, wherever the Lord came on the scene, where he was, something always happened. There was no city, no house in which he would have entered without that something would have happened. And so, it's also today. We are just so grateful that it's not only written that he is the same, that it's not only written where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them, and I will be with you all the days, even until the end of the world. This is not only written, this is so. Every word of God is true. Now, I also would like to welcome all of you. Today we have visit from Finland, from all the neighboring countries, from Czech Republic, from Poland, Slovakia, Italy, Austria, Switzerland, Belgium, France. Yes. From all over we are gathered to hear the Word of God and to say thanks unto Him for that, that He has not forgotten us, but that we are having part in His gracious visitation. We, of course, have the first weekend, and I would like to look back to the past year, just briefly. Most important of all, I would like to thank all them with all my heart who support the work of God in their prayers and who also support it so that the work can be done. Today, I brought with me the list of 72 places on the earth of brothers or missionary works which we support on a regular basis. And if we count everything together, what went through the books last year, and not only now Austria, Switzerland and Germany, but all of you are contributing to it. More than 900,000 euros went through the books, and we really could support the work of God all over the world. And even myself, I also contributed my part to it. And I did all the missionary trips to carry the precious message all over. Sometimes I'm asked by people, when I work together with brothers who perhaps are not in line with the doctrines with other brothers, my conviction is this, that I have to reach God's people regardless of the attitude and conviction of the several brothers in the various countries. It's just about to work together with all so that the people of God can be reached in all peoples, tongues and nations. And I just have the silent confidence that the day will come where also all the ministering brethren will become one heart and one soul, where nobody looks at the work as his work, but that he becomes a part of the work of God, so that everything at the end will be well. Then, today I would like to thank our two sisters in the office, Sister Lizzie, Sister Elizabeth, and Sister Brigitte. I would like to thank them who carry the main burden, and really all, in the printing shop, in the dispatch, in all the realms, in all the areas which are done here. And believe me, many brothers and sisters are not only having a full-time job, sometimes it goes beyond measure, so that hours and days are going into the nights, whatever has to be done. I would like to thank our beloved brother Schmidt Erich for the effort which he makes to become a blessing to the whole world, and also to the singers, to the choir. I would like to thank them who just are using their voices and talents, giving them to the Lord, and so can be a blessing to others. Then, also the sisters who are serving here, and there Sister Vera is mentioned at the first place. What is being done here, it really goes beyond every measure. And now, just to all the translators. All the translators. It's translated into French, into Czech, into Italian, into Russian, Romanian, Polish, English, Spanish, Portuguese. And in the languages into which it is being transmitted, the people all over the earth are being blessed. And we truly, today, we have a full list of emails, even from New Zealand, where people are listening now, where they're tuned in and are having part there, where the day starts, there where the sun arises every day for the first time. One can really say, from the rising of the sun unto its going down, there the people are being reached. And there one can add the word, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of it, the name of the Lord be blessed, as a German song goes. Then we have, on the last missionary trip in December, we had the mighty blessings, and we have seen the fruit, in particular in Brazil. It can be seen there. It was manifested, the fruit. And in this connection, it's worthwhile to mention that as Brother Barrier in the French language was used to especially reach the French-speaking countries, and there, in particular, in Central Africa, to look after them, so also the Lord used Brother Helmut Miskis in the Portuguese language to serve hundreds and thousands. And beyond that, people were reached. Of course, in the meetings, now in Brazil, it were the year-end meetings. 320 preachers from all over the country were gathered there, and our visit was a surprise. But Many remembered 1971 and the other 70s. They could remember it. When Brother Frank was traveling there from city to city to carry the divine message. And if we now have heard that more than 10,000 brothers and sisters were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that the Lord really has given grace beyond measure, then we are just so grateful that God was taking care for every languages so that the whole world can be looked after, can be served. To Him, the Almighty God, be the thanks for all the brothers, for all who are having part so that the divine message can be carried. Then to me came the thought, not just briefly, I will touch upon it, how God also at this place really was guiding us step by step, also in that what is being done on the outward side, the buildings and things. I already mentioned it last Sunday in Zurich. I was looking up the calendar, the exact date I found. The note is there, when the Lord with a tremendous voice was commanding me, my servant, go unto the adjacent property and consecrate it unto me, for people will come from many nations who have to be accommodated. Build upon it, buy it, build upon it, for people will come. And this we have done. I looked it up. The exact date, note it down, on the 12th of August, 76, the contract was made. And when the whole world within the message was looking upon the year 1977 and was counting upon that 77, everything will come to its end, then we started with the buildings. We started building. I don't want to go into details here. I believe that we can say of a truth, as Noah, as Moses, and as all the servants of God, that we, until now, have done everything according to the word of the Lord. And believe me, probably no day is passing, no morning is passing, when I not tell God, dear Lord, give me your thoughts, give me your words, guide me in that what has to be said, what has to be written, what has to be preached. Guide me, lead me in all things, in every way, so that your perfect will can be done. Because that's what's all about. Now, just one important announcement. May all who are taking part in the Israel trip, may they come to the front after this service. May they come to the front. Then we have here, I have just greetings. I just read now who has written or from where, Brother Karki from Kathmandu in Nepal. And then again an email from Lukram, also from there. And God willing, in January, I will be there. Then Brother Etienne is greeting us, Etienne Genton, in the love of God. Then Brother Pino Davi is sending greetings, also very warm greetings in the love of God. Then one sister from Piazza Marina, who many years stayed in Belgium, she phoned in. By the way, she speaks a very good French, and she said, Brother Frank, greet the church from all the brothers and sisters from the surroundings, Piazza Marina, and whatever the cities are called there. Then we have from Blantyre, Malawi. Then we have greetings from Brother Jarnil Mashi, one of my oldest friends in the north of India. With him, by the way, with him I was in Sinigar, close to Nepal, in this fighted area. Then we have greetings from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Greetings from Auckland, New Zealand. Greetings from my brother Manasse from Lyon. Greetings from Brother Nyagi from Nairobi. Greetings from Brother Matuki, probably from the UK. Then greetings from Brother Octavius from Medan, Indonesia. Greetings from Brother Joseph from Kinshasa. The other names I didn't write down anymore. The phone calls came in, and then I didn't write down anymore. And also from this place we are greeting, really, all brothers, all sisters in the Lord. And we are aware of that we are really have reached the last period of the history of mankind and the history of the plan of salvation. We can witness it and experience it live, and we are convinced, and this I say now, clearly now, there are brothers within the message who just say, Brother Branham had the commission to store in the food in Jeffersonville, in the tabernacle. It was the name tabernacle. It's the word tabernacle is used in the English Bibles. And connected with this, the brothers are claiming all over the world, nobody has the right. Yes. To refer to Brother Branham, only Jeffersonville, where the food is stored in. And this I'm saying now, just not to be proud or to be puffed up, but I say it with a thanksgiving heart. Who was it who told me on the 2nd of April to give, to store in the food? Who was it who commanded me on the 3rd of December, on the same year, 62, he told me, wait with the giving out of the food until you receive the rest of it. This the brothers don't want to hear. They are satisfied by claiming, when the people are listening to the sermons of Brother Branham, then this is all what is needed. Let us say it very honestly. As in the Old Testament, the counsel of God was laid down, but only in the New Testament it could be comprehended and it could be manifested in the details. And then it was placed biblically. So also one has to just say that Brother Branham stored in the food in its fullness, but he didn't prepare it yet onto the table so that everything can be distributed rightly in the right menu, in the right meal. But may God just watch over it and give grace to it. We have now experienced it in Brazil that all these questions, which are really have a great meaning for the brothers within the message, that we just answer all these questions truly, truthfully. We could answer them, and we are grateful to God for it, that we now truly are staying before a turning point, so that really all those who believe God of a truth, that they understand that a continuation is taking place in the ministry, and so that the message is being carried into all the world before the Lord can return. Now, to that, what we touched upon and said yesterday in reference to Israel, Gaza Strip, and so forth, we read the scriptures to it. Once again, I have the email here with me, December 24th. Here it is being said, only one is able to bring to the people in that region, namely to all the religions and to all the denominations, to bring them safety and peace. And then comes the explanation of all what is meant with it and who is meant with it. Once again, the Holy Father has a pleasant voice which can speak to all these conflicting parties about reconciliation and true peace. Everything one can read, date 31st of the December 2008. Everything can be read up. Also that what concerns our friends of the USA. We are all very sorry about it. Now the report of the 15th of December 2008. The result of the Iraq war. I read now. More than 4,209 soldiers died. More than 576 billions were spent. If one then reads on, really is reading on, and asks oneself, why at all? But also that the scripture might be fulfilled. There will be wars and rumors of wars. Now, let us leave all these subjects. Now, we want to hear a short sermon. Perhaps, if the sisters want to sing a song before that, our brothers from Cape Town, I read now from the English, they were writing me, Brother Frank, we thank God for your life. You are ordained and separated for the matter of Christ, for the thing of Christ. And we are grateful for all the blessings which the eternal God has not only given us in promises, but also in its fulfillment. May the Lord God bless the scriptural message of the hour which you are carrying, and may He be with you until we all are found without spot and without wrinkle, dressed in the wedding garment, standing before our Lord. This is all our desire, and we are very grateful to God, our Lord, that we truly have understood of what it is about now. To the sisters, they have always a fitting song. Also for this, we are very grateful. May God really bless all the singers. May He bless all. Is Brother Tati this morning here? Brother Tati? Him we ask then that he prays with us. Yes.
Nimm mein Leben, lass es dein, treuer Gott auf ewig sein. Lass die Hand in stillem Fleiß wirken nur auf dein Geheiß. Wasche mich in Jesu teurem Blut, in der Gnade reinigenden Flut. Herr, nur dir allein will ich mein Leben weihen. Jetzt und ewig bin ich dein. Lass das Wort des Mundes rein, voll von deiner Wahrheit sein. Dein sei Ehre, Gut und Glück. Herr, ich halte nichts zurück. Wasche mich in Jesu teurem Blut, in der Gnade reinigenden Flut. Herr, nur dir allein will ich mein Leben weihen. Jetzt und ewig bin ich dein. Dieses Lebens flüchtige Zeit, deinem Preis sei sie geweiht. Brauche hier im Kampf der Welt Geist und Sinn, wie dir's gefällt. Wasche mich in Jesu teurem Blut, in der Gnade reinigenden Flut. Herr, nur dir allein will ich mein Leben weihen. Jetzt und ewig bin ich dein. Auch mein Wille, Herr, soll dein, ganz und gar dein eigen sein. Nimm mein Herz, o Gottes Sohn, weihe es zu deinem Thron. Wasche mich in Jesu teurem Blut, in der Gnade reinigenden Flut. Herr, nur dir allein will ich mein Leben weihen. Jetzt und ewig bin ich dein. Leib und Leben, Herz und Sinn, leg ich dir zu Füßen hin. Nimm mich und ich werde dein, gänzlich und für immer sein. Wasche mich in Jesu teurem Blut, in der Gnade reinigenden Flut. Herr, nur dir allein will ich mein Leben weihen. Jetzt und ewig bin ich dein. Wasche mich in Jesu teurem Blut, in der Gnade reinigenden Flut. Herr, nur dir allein will ich mein Leben weihen. Jetzt und ewig bin ich dein.
We stand up and we ask Brother Tati that he comes now, that he prays with us. And then we will hear a short sermon, and may the Lord bless.
Dieu notre Père,
God, our Father,
we
say thanks that we may be gathered at this place again. We have come to hear your word. Please open our spiritual understanding. May our heart be ready to receive your seed and inspire our brother so that he can bring to your people that, namely the food which we need for this day. Bless the people. Bless the church. Bless the whole generation. So that we may be found in your will. So that you can manifest your glory in us and through us. We say to you already now, thanks that we received for what we asked for. For we were asking in the name of the new covenant, the name which is above every name, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. Come from on high, come Spirit of the Lord.
Worship together with you. And now, just before the message, I have my good friend here on the platform tonight, Dr. Lee Vale, from First Baptist Church at Lima, Ohio, who is one of my sponsors at the Lima meeting. I asked him coming down tonight if he would just say a word to the congregation, maybe pertaining to the Lima meeting for the next moment or two. And I'm happy to introduce to you tonight Dr. Lee Vale, another Baptist that's got the Holy Ghost.
Amen. God bless you, brother.
That was all pretty strong for a Baptist pastor, wasn't it? Well, we're very happy to have Brother Vale with us, and certainly the doors are open for him to come back and visit us at any time he can. And now, tomorrow night is the entombment of the Lord Jesus. Sunday morning is the 6 o'clock sunrise service, and I believe the brother has announced the further part of the service. Now let us pray just a moment. Blessed Lord, Thy word is truth.
Amen.
And we're thankful for men who handle it fearless as they give it out to the people. And as we open up the Bible tonight or turn back its pages, may the blessed Holy Ghost come and open the word of understanding to us. Through Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. This great night that we are celebrating of the crucifixion of our blessed Lord, I wish to read tonight from His own precious lips the words that He has had written in His book. In St. Matthew, the 4th chapter, we in the 47th and 48th verse, we read this. And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? But be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And tonight we gave out that we were going to speak on the subject of perfection. Now that seems like a very strange text to take for the night of the crucifixion of our Lord. But today, perhaps you've been listening to the radio and heard the different messages and the messengers, how they presented that great, awful day when our Lord died for the sins of the world. So I have chosen tonight to go around a different way to get to it. So it would be a little different and might refreshing you a little. May the blessed Holy Spirit inspire the word now as we take the effort to bring it. God requires perfection. We want to bear that in mind, that there's nothing just part way can go in the presence of God. It must be perfect. Our worship, everything. Now in the Garden of Eden, God had Adam and Eve in the garden, and they sinned and transgressed the laws of God by sinning, disobedience. And when transgression comes, disobedience is the transgression of the law. And the law of God, Him being holy, just unadulterated holy, therefore no spot of unholiness can ever stand in His presence. So if sin came in the world by transgression, then sin must be dealt with before the sinner can ever stand in the presence of God. Now, if there is no law, then there is no justice. But law requires, or justice requires a law. And the law, when it is recalled on, it projects justice. Now, by the law, no flesh is saved. Now, the law cannot save us. The law was just the thing that put us in jail. But it has no redeeming power. The law only showed us that we were sinners and condemned us. That's what law is to do. It's to bring condemnation, or to show you where your mistake is. So the law in itself could not save. It could only prosecute. And God, being holy and just, He had to have a prosecution. He had to prosecute the sinner because he had overstepped the boundaries of grace and had become a law-breaking citizen. Then he must be dealt with. And the Every law has a penalty. For the penalty of transgressing God's law is death. And it had to project death to the human race. And all of the human race is under the penalty of this law. Now, when Adam and Eve had sinned, there was no way, no other remedy that they could ever stand in the presence of God again except this sin be dealt with. And no man can commit a sin of any type, no matter how little or how big, that individual sin has to be dealt with before the one who committed it can ever stand in the presence of the Holy God. So therefore, when Adam and Eve had sinned and had transgressed the law, they were subjects of death. And the law had to be executed. Therefore, it put all the human race under the penalty of death. Now, if we can only settle down for a few moments now in our thinking and look at this great picture and remember that every person here is included in this. Every man and woman, child is included in the penalty of death by the transgression of the head of the human race, Adam. By his transgression, every one of us fell victim to sin. And sin must be dealt with. And so God, in His great infancy and His great love, the law was to separate the sinner from his Maker. Then he became annihilated and totally annihilated. There would be no way for him to ever come back unless that sin was dealt with. And it would be very easy then to believe in a total annihilation of the sinner at the end. For he is completely, forever separated from the presence of God. Now notice this sin and how God, being just, and He could do nothing else but be just, for He is the resource of all justice. Then there would be nothing else for Him to do but to place the penalty for this transgression. And the penalty was death. For He said, the day you eat thereof, that day thou shalt surely die. Now it's a dark picture we have here. But then if we go back just a little further and find out the very attributes of God, the Bible plainly tells us that God is love. But yet being love, He has to be just. So love does not mean just the thing that can be petted and played with. Love is the justice of God. Now, when God seen that His children had transgressed His law and that they must die the death, then sovereign love stepped in to make a way. For God seen that these children was to be absolutely, totally annihilated from His presence. There was nothing else to be done. For they had transgressed His law, and the penalty of His law was death.
And then love of God went out for his subjects. And when divine love is projected, sovereign grace produces the object of the love. And God, by foreknowledge, when he loved his race so well, yet with the penalty, he caused the substitutionary death to take place in the Garden of Eden. That was, he substituted an innocent creature, a little lamb that knowed no sin. And it went for a substitute to work and to die in the stead of the guilty sinner. And it was a lamb slain to hold the life of his subject. All through the Old Testament, they offered the blood of lambs and goats, sheep, bulls, heifers, a substitutionary death. But all in the great economy of God, there was back in his mind the real object coming, which would be them were shadows of the real object that was to come. And the real object was to come was his only begotten Son. All the lambs that died was only a shadow. And a shadow is only the negative side of an object. And they only spoke of Calvary coming. Now, for a picture of this, let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Hebrews and pick up here what Paul, the great apostle, speaking, trying to separate these things for us. In the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, we read this, and I just love the Word.
Amen.
The Word is the truth.
Amen.
And I like to read it before my congregation because I know that in the judgment I'll stand with them. Now I've got to give an account. So if I bring it from the Word, then I'll not be guilty because it's the Word and God's responsible for His Word. We see so much today of evangelists and so forth building up around personalities. Oh, it's a disgraceful thing. And we find out in going into churches. We go into church and you find a certain pastor, he's got some little peculiar act about him, some little emotion. If you don't notice, the entire congregation will take that spirit. If he's just a little emotional or jerks his head or some little odd thing, well, the whole church will take on to that. And we've got today in our modern churches the word, it's sensations and little things like that, and it's got such a confusion. But oh, my beloved brethren, if there ever was a time that we ought to be on the Word, it's today. You see, I would hate to stand at the judgment and know that I had some little fickle something of a little peculiar revelation and misled people. I don't want them to have my spirit on my action, but I want them to have God's spirit by God's Word that produces truth. So on this great occasion tonight, I would like to read from God's eternal Word. Now we realize that the law existed for many years, but the law could never take away sin. As I've said in the past, it was just a jailhouse.
It was the great detective that told you what you had done but had no remedy to deliver you. It put you in the pawn shop, but there was no redeemer to take you out with it. It only prisoned you to let you know that you was a sinner. But now notice in Hebrews the 10th chapter as we read, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image. Remember, it was a shadow of an image to come. A shadow only introduces that there is a image making the shadow. A shadow of the things to come and not the very image. Notice, all the things, the very image of the things can never with those sacrifices which were offered continually make the comer unto perfect. Now, God in the beginning required perfection. Jesus, when he came to earth, said, be ye perfect, like God in heaven is perfect. And the law, having a shadow of things to come, could never make the worshiper perfect. You get the picture? Now, let's go it again so you'll be sure not to miss it. God requires perfect holiness. No one can stand in his image with one little speck of sin. Jesus witnessed the same and said, be perfect just like God in heaven is perfect. And the Bible says that the law could never with its sacrifices make the comer perfect. Then the law could not perfect anything. It was only a pointer. These sacrifices made every year could never make the worshiper perfect. So therefore no one under the law or keeping of laws or under the shadows could be perfect. For, second verse, then would they not have ceased to be offered. If there is anything that I can do to make myself perfect in the presence of God, then Christ did not have to die for me. If there's one thing that you can do that would merit anything in the presence of God, then Christ died in vain. No law keeping, no legalistic ideas of yours, none of your own holiness, no things that you could quit doing, quit lying, quit stealing, quit smoking tobacco, quit going to the picture shows, still you are lost. Nothing can do it. Joining churches, rituals, ceremonies, baptisms, orders of the church, reading of creeds, saying of prayers, all those things would count nothing. You are lost. Not one thing can you do in yourself. For you are a sinner under condemnation. And there's not no way within yourself or any creed or anything that you could do or think of yourself that could merit one thing in the presence of God. because you are a sinner to start with. And the Bible declares that we were all born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. And God could not take one man to die for the other, because one is just as guilty as the other.
Amen.
In the presence of God, the archbishop born in this world was as guilty as the lowest barfly in the city.
Amen.
One cannot atone for the other. Therefore, he took an innocent life of an animal, a little lamb. And under the Old Testament, the law was when a man sinned, he brought the lamb to the altar. Say, if he transgressed any of the commandments, he brought the lamb. And he laid it on the altar. He laid his hands upon the lamb. And he confessed his sins that he was wrong. And know that he was guilty. The law required death. And he brought the lamb in his stead. And when the throat of the little animal was cut, and it began to kick its little feet and bleeding. If you ever seen a lamb slaughtered, what a pitiful cry. The poor little fellow trying to bleat, and his little jugular veins cut. And as he kicks and quivers, and as he straightens out, then quivers again and blakes, and the blood gushes. It bathes his little wool and the worshiper's hands. And as the worshiper, realizing for committing adultery, for lying, stealing, whatever his guilt was, or even evil thinking, whatever it was, in the least shadow, he was guilty. Because it was his nature. He was a guilty person, not maybe by desire, but by nature he was guilty. And he had to recognize that this innocent little lamb died in his place. And he felt sorry for the little thing. But the man, as soon as the lamb finally died, with the blood of the lamb upon his hand, he walked from the building with the same desire in his heart that he had at the beginning. Why? Because the life that was in the little lamb, life lays in the blood. Your life is in your blood. We know that. And the life in the blood of the lamb was animal life. Therefore, when its little corpuscles were broken and the life went out of the animal, it could not come back to the worshiper, because the worshiper was a human being. The blood made a covering, but it could not perfectly atone. For the man left the building with the same desire to sin as he had in the first place. But doing this, he was looking forward to a time when there would be a perfect lamb come. And he did it on the burnt offering because it was the only way he knew about. So you see, when the blood was pouring and the life went from the animal, it could not come back to the man. For one was animal, one was man. An innocent animal to a guilty man. But oh, one day
some 2,000 years ago, the Lamb of God was born down in a little manger in Bethlehem and was led like a sheep to its slaughter. Some 1,900 years ago this afternoon at 3 o'clock, He died, the spotless, blemish Lamb of God, hung on Calvary's cross and died for every sinner.
Amen.
Now, when the worshiper comes to this Lamb by faith, and this is a different type of lamb.
Amen.
It's not a lamb like the other. No man can come to this lamb except God draws him first. You see God's sovereignty? Oh, I hope this soaks way down deep now. Look, God knowed He had sheep in this world. He knowed He was going to have people to be saved. And His love looked down and seen those who would be saved. Therefore, by foreknowledge, He predestinated a church to meet Him at her without spot or wrinkle. And if God required a church without spot or wrinkle, He had to have something to make it that way. He could not require it. His justice, His judgments could not let Him ask such a thing if there wasn't a way to make it. And man cannot do it in himself. He's a total failure. God let Him see that through the law, through the judges, and through all the Old Testament. He sent the prophets, He sent the righteous man, and they found out that every one failed. So God, by His sovereign grace, sent from the portals of glory His only begotten Son to take our place. Remember, if He had said for the Pope of Rome to take it, He could not have done it.
Amen.
If He had said for the Archbishop of Canterbury to do it, He could not have done it.
Amen.
If He would have called on the most holy, reverend Father or Bishop of the world, He could not have done it. He'd been just as far rejected as Judas Iscariot was.
Amen.
He could not do it because He was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies and needed atonement for Himself.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But there came one from the portals of glory. None other, not a man, not a good man, neither a Jew nor a Gentile. He was nothing less than Almighty God hid in human flesh. He came Himself to offer His own blood. For it did not come to sex. Sex had nothing to do with it. But He overshadowed a virgin and brought forth from a blood cell that He created Himself.
Amen.
The innocent one. Then my salvation, yours tonight, does not hinge upon the merits of our own acts. It hinges upon the positive,
amen,
sovereign grace of Almighty God who has chosen,
amen,
us.
Amen.
Certainly, I could never be perfect, nor you could never be perfect, and we don't claim to be perfect, but we have this one consolation that our faith rests in a perfect sacrifice that's already been received.
Amen.
Then how do we know that we get that? When the worshiper puts his hands by faith upon the body of the Lord Jesus, and feels the terror of sin and the mock of spit in his own face, feels the groanings of Gethsemane, the agonies of Calvary, and knows that he's guilty and confesses his sins correctly. Oh, blessed Lord, I am guilty, and I have no other way but you to help me. And by faith, your bidding, the Holy Spirit has come and bids me come, and I now by faith accept Jesus as my personal Savior. That life that come from him on Calvary, called the Holy Ghost, which was hid in the blood cell of the Lord Jesus, returns to the worshiper and baptizes him with the Holy Ghost into the body of Christ.
Amen.
And he's already judged.
Amen.
You don't have to worry about judgment. As I turn and look at that little crucifix, I realize that that is represents his body. And now that body has already been judged. God can't justly judge it again, for it's already judged.
Amen.
God struck the judgments of death upon that body. And as long as I can find a way to get hid in that body,
amen,
his judgment was struck for me and for you. We are free.
Amen.
Romans 8:1 said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, that walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. There you are. No condemnation. I don't care what comes or what goes, you are hid beneath the blood. Again, how do we get into that body? 1 Corinthians 12:13 says that by one Spirit. How does the Spirit come? Through the sacrifice. Where did the Spirit lay? Within the blood. Why couldn't the animal come back? It was an animal. The animal spirit could not come to the human spirit and do anything to it, because the human spirit was a higher line of life than the animal. But no other man's spirit could come back. If you got the spirit of some ancestor, it's spiritualism. But God himself came, that his own spirit, which is the highest line of spirit there is, can come back by the form of the baptism of the Holy Spirit to the worshiper through the blood of Christ and take him into the body.
Amen.
Be safe. Watch. The blood of bulls and goats would not work, seeing it was weak. Now let's start reading about the 12th verse. All right. The blood of bulls and goats could not work. Neither could it atone. Watch. But this man. What man? The bishop. No, the pope. No. But this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God.
Amen.
From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Are you ready? Are you ready for the word? Listen to this. Then I want you to let it sink down. Listen closely. For by one offering, not year by year, not revival after revival, not meeting after meeting, not day after day, but by one offering, he has P-E-R-F-E-C-T-E-D. They have, he has. By one offering, he has perfected, that's God's requirement, forever them that are sanctified.
Amen.
There you are. That's the answer to the death of Christ. That's the answer to Calvary. He absolutely, with his own blood, purchased our sins and perfected forever his believers. Therefore, in Christ, we stand blameless, perfected in the presence of God Almighty. We are underprivileged people with our own doctrines. We are being taught that we have to get up to a certain place. We have to do a certain thing. No, my brother, it's nothing you've done. It's what God did for you. We are now, if we are justified by faith, we are perfected forever in the presence of God. Then Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect. Then it was perfected forever. God, through the death of Christ, 1900 years ago today, perfected the believer that he foresaw before the foundation of the world forever. And those who he has called, he has justified. Those who he foreknew, he has called. Those who he has called, he has justified. Those who he has justified, he has already glorified. He has perfected his believers. Now, watch, let's go back now to the first verse. The law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of those things, can never with those sacrifices which are offered year by year continue, make the comer unto perfect. What's perfect's what we're talking about. For then they should not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshiper once purged would have no more conscience of sin. What do you mean? The word conscience there in right interpretation is desire. And if a man comes to worshiper correctly before Christ, seeing his suffering, and he offers himself to Christ, and says, oh Lord God, there's nothing in me that can atone, but I'm wholly depending on you. Then that Holy Spirit comes into the human heart, the very sin question settled forever. Forever desire of sin has been taken from you. For if the law could have done that, then sacrifices would not have to cease. But being that it could not do it, Christ had to die to make us perfect. Friends, there is so many things that we could say tonight about the perfection. We are always trying to gouge the eyes out of somebody else to make ourselves just a little holier than they are. But if we only looked at the picture, it's only God's grace that we are what we are. Here's some time ago in Ohio, I learned a lesson the hard way. I was having a meeting down in Ohio.
Brother Branham then tells an experience which he had.
Ja, wenn ihr so angesprochen worden seid,
when you were spoken to as I am, I was listening to this sermon on my flight back from Sao Paulo,
und er hat mich derart
and
im tiefsten
it really touched me and spoke to me on my inside. And I knew,
das kann ich nicht.
This I cannot keep for myself. This I have to share. And brothers and sisters, let us receive it today once for all, that in Christ Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, all the damage was made well. And that by grace we were sanctified, not only redeemed,
but sanctified in the word of truth. Why do we have an inner agreement to every word of God? To be sanctified therein, to agree with God. And also this comparison, the life of the animal could not come back to him who was standing there as a man and who was sacrificing. But the life of God, which was in Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God, returns, of course, into all the redeemed. And so we have the eternal life received, divine justification, forgiveness, grace, and salvation. And then one can just say, who wants to accuse God's elect? It is Christ who justified them. And the blood speaks for us. Although the accuser of the brethren always comes up, we are looking to the cross of Calvary, and we receive the full redemption, the full justification, the full sanctification. We take everything what God has given us in Christ Jesus. We receive it. As we said just now, the English Bible translates here that we, by the one sacrifice, were perfected once for all. And here it says that he brought us to the destination. Both is correct. Perfectly redeemed, completely justified, becoming children of God. And we are waiting for the changing of our bodies at the return of Jesus Christ our Lord. If we all, today, all who we are here today, and all who are with us, in all peoples, tongues, and nations, if we just can loosen ourselves from the bad conscience with which the enemy wants to show us every day, tormenting us, that we just can say, could say, depart from me. We are looking to the cross of Calvary. Our decision is firm. We believe what God said. We believe what happened on the cross of Calvary. God was in Christ and reconciled the world with himself. And has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Friends, brothers and sisters, this is the gospel. This is the full gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Lord God, may he give us a pure heart. Because that's how it is written. Blessed are those of a pure heart, for they shall see God. Let nothing come up in you against anyone. Never listen again to it. If somebody speaks about somebody else, walk with God. And we want to lay down this year before the Lord in a special way, so that it might be consecrated unto him. And as we emphasized it yesterday, that in the families, in the fellowships, wherever there are troubles, and where are no troubles, I don't know, let us all do our part, that we are peacemakers, that we esteem the other one higher than ourselves, and that we hold fast the bond of peace and thus coming unto perfection. I have many scriptures which are on my heart. I just would like to read one, namely from 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, and with this we will close then. Brothers and sisters, the Word of God speaks to us, and we are agreeing with God, and we thank Him for it. 1 Peter chapter 1, from verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be offered unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then comes the command, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He who has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conduct. A powerful word. Has God required something which He would not have to work Himself in us and will work in us? He gives all what we need to stand before Him. However, we have to give our agreement to it, so that His will might be done through our lives, and so that His word remains true. 16, because, but as He who has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conduct. 15, verse 16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And then the apostle closes, really, here, this text, this epistle, this subject, he closes with verse 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And to this we all say amen to it. On the cross of Calvary, our Lord cried out, it is finished. And then we read in Hebrews, you all know the Holy Scripture, here am I and all the children which God has given me. The redemption was worthwhile. Also the message of the hour was worth it. The calling out is taking place. The Lord knows His own in all peoples, tongues, and nations. And this we already mentioned, that we now have the possibility to reach the whole world. And for this, we are grateful to God. In that what the Lord is doing now, we want to walk forward in lockstep, having part in it, until we come from believing unto seeing. Ezra said, There were many precious scriptures which I would have liked to read. Ezekiel 12, verse 21, Ezekiel 13, 17, all these precious scriptures. And I'll just be honest now, brothers and sisters, so precious, as the Word of God has become to us, I believe so precious, it was never so precious unto mankind. And also in our time, they're arguing and are discussing. Here nobody argues. Here nobody discusses. Here we believe as the Scripture has said. And we thank God with all our heart. And if you then find out, they are coming from the east and west. They are coming from south and north. They are coming to hear the Word of God. And then I say, at the end, please recognize before God the day, the hour, the message, and that what God has ordained for this time, what He promised for this time. And in connection with this, just recognize also the responsibility which we have for all eternity, not for a few years, for all eternity which we have before God, for the souls which are entrusted unto us, so that we tell them the full gospel, the full word in the completion, and so that we all come unto perfection. Without effort, just lay your will into the will of God, and you will see the Lord will come to His right with all of us. Are we not grateful for the sermon? Grateful for that? What God is doing by His grace? To Him, the faithful Lord, be the honor and the adoration in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let us stand up for prayer and let us together pray now. But we ask that we are praying in a proper sound, not so loud. If somebody wants to pray loud, be short. Together we want to raise our voices together. And we want to give thanks unto God, which is due to Him. And once again, we want to lay down this year before Him, that it becomes a year of jubilee. A year where the people return to that what God has given us at the beginning. That we get into possession of all the things which are ours, that this year will be a special year. And at the end, in closing, we also heard it, what Brother Branham said, that the sacrifice which happened on the cross of Calvary, that all receive it for them personally. And for this we will ask now. First we bow our heads and we remain in silent prayer. Let me ask now whether in our midst we have people who were addressed, who want to consecrate their lives unto the Lord. Just raise your hand. Nobody is looking around. God bless, God bless, God bless. All over. Do we have sick people in our midst? Really, those who are in trouble and those who need healing. Jesus Christ is the same. By His stripes, we are healed. By the way, Brother Rus and Sister Rus is sending greetings to all of you. We are all longing for the day where they also will be here. Who else has a request which we can bring unto God? Whatever. God bless. We have requests which we want to bring unto the Lord. And we know the blood of the Lamb speaks for us. He went with his own blood into the most holy place. Now just think for one moment what kind of damage the preachers are doing who are preaching the time of grace is already at the end, is already finished. Just think of it. What kind of destructive doctrine is connected with it? The time of grace is still with us and among us until we come from believing unto seeing. Let us now pray. Firstly, we pray for all the requests, and then together we will raise our voices again, thanking God with all our hearts. Dear Lord, based upon the promises which we have in the Word of God, we pray now for all who are in trouble, for all who need salvation, for all who need healing and deliverance, and whatever it might be. We are not only having the promise, beloved Lord, through you, all the promises became true. Yes and amen. The announcement and the fulfillment, everything has happened. Precious Lord, let today be manifested that you are in our midst, that you are saving, that you are healing, and that you are delivering, and that you are blessing us. We are thanking you with all our hearts for the ministry of all the prophets and of all the apostles. We thank you for the Old and for the New Testament. We thank you that you have foretold us everything. And we see with our own eyes the fulfillment of all of the Bible prophecies. Precious Lord, receive today our thanksgiving. May it reach your throne of grace. Great God, thank you. For you are today in our midst. Today you have spoken to us, and you are confirming today your word in us and through us. And for this, we want to now give you thanks together. And this we are doing. We ask Brother Schmidt that he comes, and we are all raising our voices now, and we thank with him. Heavenly Father, we are coming unto you, and we say thanks unto you for all the grace. We thank you, Lord. You are your own interpreter. We thank you that you yourself came down and you became a lamb, the Lamb of God. You have given your blood, and through your blood, Lord, we may come unto perfection. Lord in heaven, we thank you that you went, that the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom, that we are not standing before the Holy of Holies, but we may enter into the Holy of Holies. So please sanctify us through and through. Make us perfect through thy word. O Lord, bless from the riches of your grace. We thank you for everything. Amen. The adoration was weak. Let us again thank him with all our hearts. And if brothers want to raise holy hands, do it. Let us thank God with all our hearts. Dear Lord, once again, we thank you with all our hearts for the redemption, for your plan of salvation, for your word, for your grace, for every revelation which you have given. Manifest your power and glory. You, the victor of Calvary. Hallelujah. Praise, honor, and glory. Praise, honor, and glory. Bless all the brothers who are ministering with the word. Bless in all peoples, tongues, and nations. And have thine own way with all of us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Singen wir.
Let us sing to you, the Lamb of God, be honor. I ask you to remain standing from the Seals Book, page number 166, just one passage. I don't know how somebody can claim the bride church has to go through the tribulation. For what shall she go through the tribulation? If no sin is on her, I don't speak of the church. She will go through the tribulation, but I speak of the bride. The bride has no sin which would speak against her. She is blotted out. It is blotted out. Not even the slightest thing is left. Nothing. She stands perfect, pure before God. The church will have to go through the tribulation, but the bride not. She stands perfectly pure. Perfectly pure before God. Dear Lord, we thank you once again with all our hearts that you at the end of the time of grace you have a bride which you are calling out of the church. You are the bridegroom. And we have heard the voice. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And I'm asking you, you, the bridegroom of our souls, that all who have now heard your word, that they belong to the bride church, and that they respond to your call, and that they believe you, the bridegroom. And as a bridegroom entrusts everything to her bride, to his bride, so you also entrusted unto us your word, your thoughts, your will, your plan of salvation. Yes, your endeavor. You have shared it with us. You entrusted it to us before we can go to the marriage supper. Have thine own way with thy bride church in all peoples, tongues, and nations. And we thank you once again for the redemption through your blood. We thank you for your word in which we are sanctified by faith and in obedience. And we thank you for the Holy Ghost who leads us into all truth and who then has sealed us unto the day of our redemption. Beloved Lord, today I really feel like rejoicing, jumping. My heart is filled with thanksgiving. My heart is filled with thanksgiving. Blessed and praised be thou, O Lord, now and forever. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't know whether you want to take your seats for a moment, but the time is up, and we just ask that we pray for one another. And I ask also that you remember me in particular and all the brothers who carry the word, that the unity firstly comes into the, that the unity is manifested in the carriers of the word, and then that it is manifested in the general church. After so many years, I will travel again to Sri Lanka, and then also in the region to Kathmandu, God willing. And if I have recovered a bit, but as the day is coming, so the Lord gives always strength. Remember me, and God willing, we will see us again on the first Sunday, the first weekend in February. Just go from here in perfect faith. Don't look back anymore. And if, then only with a thanksgiving heart, that the past is past. If you want to look back, then only in this purpose, to be thankful that the past is behind us and that we walk forward by faith. That's how it is. Not so, Brother Kupfer. And so, may the Lord God really give it to all of us by grace. Receive, take greetings with you from the far north, Finland, to all our brothers and sisters in all of Europe, all of Africa, and in all of the world. And the Lord God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, may He bless us. Remember the word from Romans 4. Abraham believed God. Not only Abraham believed, Abraham believed God. What do we do today? All the people believe. All the people believe. Also the unbelievers believe what they wish to believe. But Abraham believed God. And the seed of Abraham believes God. Believes God. And therein we distinguish us. A general faith, whoever reads James can read, even the devil believes that there is one God and trembles. But we believe God as Abraham believed God. And we will see every promise fulfilled which God has given. For this, the Lord has taken the responsibility for it. Don't be discouraged, but thank the Lord God who walks the way with the bride church until the end. Once again, all who are taking part in the Israel trip, please come to the front afterward. Let us sing, Hallelujah, be praised. Amen. He blessed us.
Amen.
The Lord be with us.
Amen.
Amen.